This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Ezra chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. So he wants to read from verse 1 through 5. Go ahead.
When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to
Zerubbabel,
and to the heads of the family, and said, "Let us help build, because, like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of
Esarhaddon
of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel, and the rest of the heads of the families of Israel answered, 'You have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We build it for the Lord.'"
We alone will build it.
For the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us. Then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
Okay. Yeah, I know that was a little hard to unpack, but let me explain what it's talking about, and then what we can learn from it, right? So what happened was that the Jewish people, after they lived in Israel for some years, because of their sins and their disobedience, God sent the king of Babylon, like where Iraq is today. The king Nebuchadnezzar, he wasn't like an emperor. He ruled over a huge part. He conquered a lot of the world at the time. And he came to Israel. God sent him there, and he destroyed the temple because of the sins of the people. And he took the Jews, and he took them to Babylon. To make the story simple, it wasn't exactly like that, but there were some other people that God brought. There were some other people, because he took all the people of the Jews people, and he killed a lot of them. A lot of them were just dead. And then he also, not only did he kill them, but he also destroyed the temple of God and the city of Jerusalem. It flattened the whole place. He destroyed the wall, destroyed all the important building, and he destroyed the temple of God also. Because the people of Israel had disobeyed him, and God had warned them, and they had not listened. So God allowed their enemy Nebuchadnezzar to come and do this to them. And he took, and the many of them he killed, but the few who remained, the few who remained alive, he took them to Babylon, to modern-day Iraq. He took them there. And then after 70 years, though, God had pity on his people, and God allowed them to come back and to rebuild the temple of God and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Okay, so that's the story. Now, while they were gone, during those 70 years, while they were away from their land, some other people had come into that land who were not Jewish people. And they were not really people who loved the God of the Bible, the God of the Jewish people. They were people who had their own gods, their own idols, but they sometimes also mixed it with the worship of the God of the Bible, because they came to live in that land. So there was a mixture. There were people who had the mixture. They were worshiping God, but not really. They were really pagans. They had their idols. So when the Jewish people came back to their land, a and they started to rebuild the temple, these people, one, did not like that. They were unhappy. The people who surrounded them when they came back to build the temple, those people didn't like it. They didn't like the fact that they were rebuilding the temple of God. So they tried to destroy their work. They tried to keep them. The Bible calls them the enemies of Judah and Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin are tribes of Israel. Like, there were 12 tribes in Israel. Judah and Benjamin were two of them. So, and Jerusalem was in the territory of Benjamin, actually, and part of the and the Bible often associates the two, Judah and Benjamin. And so the Lord, so as these people are trying to rebuild the temple, these enemies of theirs, the people who were against them, try to come and stop it and try to come and frustrate it. Now, does it make sense thus far? You understand the story? Does that make sense thus far? Does that make sense thus far? What does... destroy? What did they try to prevent the people from building the temple? That's a good question. But that means you understood the story. I'm trying to find out if you just understood the narrative. Does that make sense, Fernando? You understood what happened, the story?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's the question. Why were these people trying to stop the Jews from building the temple, right? Why were they? What do you think? What was behind all that? When these people came back, right, to the land, they were actually doing quite well, right? And in fact, they came there, the King Cyrus sent them there in order to rebuild the temple. That was the whole point, right? I think we read that earlier in the service. Cyrus the king, God moved his heart and he sent these people back with specific orders to rebuild the temple. But when they got there, they actually didn't start doing that. Like I said, it took them 2 years. In those 2 years, they were doing their own stuff and things like that and so on. And you read that in the book of the product. Contemporary prophets who were there, Haggai and Zechariah, we'll see that later. But at some point, they were like, oh, you know what? Yeah, we got to start building the temple of God. Now, why were they these people trying to... Perhaps that could be a possibility because they were ordered to help them. But
I have another thing. He was reaching arrows, like he was doing...
They were worshiping. Yeah. This has to do, it is like this, right? Let me tell you what.
And God doesn't like that.
What I believe. It is simple. There is a God and there is a devil. There is a God and there is a devil. At that time, the place where God dwelt and the place where people, anybody in the world could have an encounter with God was in that temple. That temple was to be the place, like Solomon said when he dedicated it. If anybody from any land who hears of your name comes here and pray, here is prayer so that the whole earth may know that there is a God in Israel and so on. It had to do with the fact that these people were being used by the devil to prevent the purposes of God, who wanted to reveal himself to mankind, from coming to pass. They basically wanted to kill these people's relationship with God. They did not know what they were doing, but the devil was using them to try to stop the work of God. And there is, and today you and I, you have to realize that there's a God, you're trying to seek God, but there's also a devil who doesn't want you to seek God, right? We're trying to build the church. God wants to build the church. There's a devil who doesn't want to build the church to be built. And that is what this is all about. It's about people and their relationship with God. It's about people and their spiritual growth. It's about lost people and God revealing himself to mankind. Okay? Now, the thing that is interesting and what I wanted to talk about, and I'll do it just very quickly so I know we are out of time. The first thing that these people tried to do, how did they try to stop them? And this is the way that the devil would try to stop you as a person, the way the devil would try to stop us as a church, okay? So the number one thing that happened that these people did is what, okay? Is that they actually came and say, hey, guys, let us help you. And listen to what they say. They say, like you, we seek your God, and we have been sacrificing to him since the time. Look, we're the same. We're the same. We're the same people. Let us join you, right? But the truth is, these people were not seeking God. They were not interested in God, really. Part of that is true. Part of that is true. They had some worship of God, and they had some worship of their own God. These people are the Samaritans. They're still there today. They live in modern-day Nablus in the West Bank. It's the only place in the world where you find Samaritans. And Samaritan, it's these people who were living in the land of Israel but were not Jewish. They were people who came to settle there when the Jews were in exile. So they came and said, those people are called Samaritans.
So they were believing in
Jesus? No, they do a mixture. They were one leg in and one leg out. they were worshiping God a little bit. But then they also had their own, and they're still like that today. They're not Muslims, they're not Jewish, they're not Christians. They have this mixture of stuff that they practice. So, but they said, hey, let's build with you. So the first thing that the devil's not gonna come to you and say, hey, guys, why don't you commit adultery, or why don't you murder somebody or something like that? What is the first thing that the devil tried to do? To destroy us is to just bring a little bit of corruption and mixture. By telling you, he's not going to tell you, hey, become an unbeliever and become an atheist, go out and worship idols. He's just going to come in and tell you, look, you don't have to be so straight with the things of God. You don't have to follow it so closely. You can compromise a little bit. You can mix it up a little bit. And he presented that as a help. They came there as people who were actually going to help them do what they were trying to do. And this is what has happened to the church. You have the world that has come into the church. You have the music of the world, the things of the world, the movies of the world, the dressing of the world, the styles of the world, and everything that is worldly coming in. And there is a fine line. You have to be careful. Now, I'm not talking about form and shape. I'm talking about principles that cannot be compromised. If these people truly, truly were 100% sold out to God, they would have accepted their help. But they knew these people were not. That's not what they were about. They wanted to come there, mingle in there. And the truth is, once they would have accepted these people's help, they never would have built that temple. They would have gone in there and tried to ruin it. And so this is like the friend, the person who comes into your life, who says they're a Christian, but they're not walking like a Christian. But they say, let me be your close friend. And they will influence you in a way that will cause you not to grow spiritually. They'll say, well, I'm a Christian. Oh, well, I go out and I get drunk. Well, it's okay, but that's, who said that's bad? Just a little bit. Oh, but I'm a Christian, but I go and I watch R-rated movies when people are cursing and are doing all these things. Well, I'm a Christian, but look, I have a foul mouth and my language is pretty bad. You know, it's that attitude of, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I live like the world. I'm a Christian, but I live like the world. And the devil is going to try to convince you that that's okay. He's not going to turn you into an unbeliever. He'll just tell you it's okay to be a Christian, and it's okay to go to the nightclub also. It's okay to be a Christian, but it's okay to use all these bad languages. When the devil does that, he knows that you can keep all your form and you can keep all your theology, but you're not going to get anywhere. The first thing that the devil tries to do is to corrupt the church, create a mixture of God and the world, of sin and holiness, of the pure and of the unclean. And you have to watch out against that. Our life has to be pure. Our lives have to be so that, and I'm not talking that you start wearing a long white robe and walk around, but I'm saying that there are principles in the Word of God that we should not compromise, okay? There are principles in the life of God, and you have to be very careful with who says they're a Christian and who says that they're a believer. Not everybody who just speaks okay and has the right rhetoric is going to be useful to you, okay? The devil is smart. He knows that if he sends someone to you who tells you, oh, stop believing God and turn away, you're going to say, no, that's you're from the devil, I can tell, right? So, but when the devil sends you someone who quotes the Bible, quotes scripture, but then just compromises, doesn't believe in living a holy life, doesn't believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, doesn't believe in getting baptized, doesn't believe in being serious about the things of God, then you have to be smart and no, don't let yourself be influenced by that. Okay, so that's the first thing. Then that clearly didn't work. These people said, we alone will build. You have no part in building the things of God. The work of God and the house has to be, the work of God has to be done by holy people who are 100% sold out to Him. It cannot be a mixture. And I want to say to you, Jesus said this to one church. He said that you are neither hot nor cold. Jesus, I say, I wish you were either hot or cold. But if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out. Have you ever tried to drink water that's lukewarm? That's like not really hot and not really cold. It tastes bad, right? Cold water tastes good. Hot water is actually, if you ever tried it, it's actually pretty fine. But the yucky one is the one that's just in the middle. You don't feel like drinking that one. You will tell yourself, I'd rather have the cold one, right? It's like that spiritually. When people are neither in God, neither really in the world, they're in mixture. God doesn't want that. The work of God has to be done by people who are serious, who are wholehearted. They can be people who are worshiping God, worshiping their idol, but they talk the right thing, right? So that's the first thing. The number two thing that that didn't work, what did they do? The number two things that the devil did is they, verse 4, the people around them, then the people around them set out to discourage them. If the devil can't get you to compromise, if you manage to say, no, I'm not compromising, I don't care how other people live, I'm going to follow God. What the devil is going to try to do then is to discourage you. What does that look like? How does the devil discourage people? How does he bring discouragement to you? He tells you this is too hard. Look, you're not going to get anywhere, right? God is asking too much. God is demanding too much from you. This is not going to work. Look, other people have tried to do this and they've not been able to do that. Don't you say, this is to my Lord. You're not holy enough anyways, right? Look how you fell the other day and things like that. That's how the devil would try to discourage you. Look at your bad habits. Look at the way you're not, you're not even like Freddie. You know, he's going to go to heaven, you or not. So, you know, that kind of thing, the devil would try and come to the court. Basically, he tries to make you believe that this is not worth it. Stop it. You have better things to go do. You got to make money. You got to go to school. You got to go, you know, move on with your life. You got to go find a wife or a husband or a boyfriend. Right? If you keep following this thing, you're not going to get anywhere. And so on. That's the way the devil will come and try to discourage you. He's going to try to make you believe that is not worth it. It is why the Bible says we need to have hope. Hope is the thing that tells you that, no, I believe that there is something in this. I believe there is a reward for the righteous. I believe that God is with me in this thing. Okay? That's the second thing. The third thing that they tried to do The Bible says, and they tried to make them afraid to go on. They tried to scare them. How does that work? It's when the devil tells you, stop talking about God. People are going to hate you. You're going to lose your job. You're going to not have any friends. You're going to have this thing. It makes you scared. You're going to get kicked out of here. Don't be so Christian. It's not good. Shh. Don't talk about Jesus all the time like that. He tried to make them afraid and fearful. And I've seen this happen where people will just get scared. Oh, what's your family going to say about this? And what are people going to think about you? And he makes them scared. And some people actually fall away. The Bible talks of those people who fall away, even though God started doing something in them. And lastly, the Bible says that they actually went, they started to work against them and to frustrate their plan. That's a full-on attack of the enemy. How does that work? That's when Satan comes and begins actually to create problems, to try to create problems in your life, to keep you from following God. You have to understand one thing. There are problems in our lives that come because we live in a broken world. There are problems that come into our lives because of our own mistakes. We did the bad thing. But we did the thing that we knew was bad. And the Bible says you reap what you sow. You sow bad behavior, you'll reap bad consequences. Well, so that's what the Bible says. That's
having bad choices.
And that's one part. But also, there is the problems that comes in our lives because the devil is attacking us. Because the devil doesn't want us to walk with God. And on the days, you know, on the day when you want to seek God, that's the day your child starts to scream and to cause all kinds of issues. On the day when you want to seek God, that's the day when you get sick. On the time when you begin to get serious with God, that's the day when all kinds of things start to go wrong in your life. That's the devil trying to keep you from following God. It's trying to distract you and trying to work again. He will do that kind of thing. He will make people suspicious. When God is trying to build a church, a good church in an area, the devil will try to make people believe, oh, that group is weird. They're a cult. Don't join them. Look, the people there, and you will come and make people hate each other, fight against each other so that it will not get anywhere. That's one of the big tricks of the devil. He makes people, Christians, one against another in the same church because he knows they cannot do anything unless they are united. They're not going to get anywhere. And that's the attack of the devil. And it comes in various ways. Sometimes it will actually come in the form of persecution. Okay. The truth is this, there is persecution, even for the church, there's persecution and persecution. Peter was locked up in prison. That was an attack of the devil. James was killed. That was an attack of the devil because the Bible said Herod killed James. And then when he saw that was good and he pleased the Jews, he also locked up Peter. God didn't want that. How do we know that? Because God delivered him miraculously. God didn't want him in that jail. He wanted him to go out and preaching. The devil was trying to destroy him because, you know, if we kill him, it's going to affect the gospel. The gospel is not going to go as far. And you and I have to realize that. So the church was praying for him. And God rescued Peter from that. So the believers didn't say, well, Jesus told us we will suffer when we share the gospel. They didn't say that. I said, this is Peter's sacrifice. Didn't Jesus tell him that when you get old, someone will put your belt and they will take you where you do not want to go, and that's the way you're going to die? They didn't say that. They instead prayed for him to get out. And God did answer their prayers, and Peter got out of there. And so these are the ways that the devil comes against. And the Bible says that eventually they actually succeeded for a time. For a time, they actually succeeded. They stopped building the temple, the Bible says. They wrote some letters. We're not going to read all that. And the opposition for a moment it actually looked like the opposition won and that they had stopped the temple of God. I don't know exactly how long they stopped it for, but it stopped. They were not working on it anymore. I guess everybody believed that, you know, people started to say, look, you know, we told you this was not going to work and so on. And everybody went on to their house, to their field, to their business, and they abandoned the house of God. That's what happened. And you also learn something from that is, who was the one who had commanded the temple to be built? Who had moved Cyrus' heart to command the temple to be built? God. This was God's project. God was behind it. But just because God was behind it didn't mean that it was easy. They started, opposition came, it was difficult. They actually stopped. Right? Just because God was behind it didn't mean that everything fell into place easy and it was easy to do. It was not true. There was a battle there. The enemy put up a fight. So now the question is, like, how do we fight this? What do we do? With all these attacks of the enemy, how can we overcome that? Well, let's look at chapter 5, verse 1. If you just flip the page, Ezra chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1 through.
Now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Edo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Jozadak, sent the work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping.
Yeah. How did they come back to rebuilding? How were they able to overcome all this fear and all this opposition? We didn't read the whole thing, but at this time, actually, they got another king to tell them they cannot build the temple. They're enemies of the Jews. But what made them go back to doing what God had called them to do? The Bible said that there were two prophets, two men, Haggai and Zechariah. Who are the two prophets? Haggai and Zechariah, right? There are two books in the Bible named after them, right? And those two books are those prophecies that they gave the people. And so what happened, the way we overcome, the way we make sure that we can go on is that we stay close to the Word of God. We make sure that we remember what is it that God had called us to do. Like you said, have faith in God. And this is what these prophets did. They told the people to believe in God, to trust God. Yes, human beings have told you not to do this, but this was not man who sent you to do it. This was God who sent you to do it. Trust in Him. Put the work of God first. Put your relationship with God first. That is what they were told to do. And here's the interesting thing, right? When the devil wanted to stop the building of the temple, he didn't come down and stop it. He used people, right? These people came to them and tried to do it. When God wanted to encourage His people, God didn't come down and show Himself to people. He used two people, two men. The devil uses men, God uses men. And God used these two godly men, these two prophets, to speak the word of God to the people so that they will walk and overcome and be able to complete the work of God. And that's what you and I have to remember. That's why it's important to come to church, to come to a place where the Word of God, in the Bible, in the New Testament, a prophet is not someone who predicts the future. A prophet is someone who speaks into the lives of people and tell them what they ought to do. They convict them of what they ought to change and to do in their lives. When you come here and you hear me speak and the Word of God that I'm giving you is addressing specific issues and situations in your life, that's prophecy. That is what prophesying is. Yes, sometimes that means you'd say things that are to come. But it is these prophets here, what the Word of the Lord that they were speaking to them was about building the temple. So I didn't have time. We're going to read it. But if you read in Haggai chapter 1, That's how the prophecy of Haggai starts. It's saying that you all are saying it's not time to build the house of God. You all are saying the circumstances are not good. You're saying that it's not a good time, but it's time for you to build your own house. That's what I was talking about. They came there and for 2 years, they were building their own houses and doing their own stuff and going about their businesses and their own projects and things like that. Haggai told them, but what about the house of God? What about your relationship with God? What about reaching out to other people? You're just focused on yourself and on you being okay and you making money and you being all right. That's the word that they spoke to these people. That word challenged them, encouraged them, and they were able to go back and start the work of God. And you read the prophecies of Zechariah. What was Zechariah trying to say to the people? He was trying to tell them, look, you are treating other things more seriously than you're treating the things of God. He's saying that he's saying that you come and you offer God a sacrifice that you will not even offer to your governor. You're bringing God the leftovers of your life, is what Zechariah was telling the people in those days. That word challenged them. He confronted them with how they were compromising. And you want that. That's a blessing. If you have two brothers like that in your life, who speak the word of God to you, they challenge you, they tell you, hey, come back to seeking God, come back to the things of God, come back to putting God first. Those are the people that are going to help you to accomplish what God wants you to do in your life. Don't just be around people who say to you good things, what you want to hear. Be with people who will remind you, this is what God called you to do. This is what God had called you to do. This is what's important in life. You have to put the first things first in your life. So the word of God that they heard through these men, the word of prophecy is what encouraged these people. So for you and for me, I was going to also show some verses in the New Testament that show this, but we maybe look at that on Wednesday or next week. But may you be encouraged by the word of God. There's the word of God that's been given here. You have to read it in order for you to be strong. If you don't, the devil will come and he will succeed in discouraging you. Let me ask you this. You know, well, later on, right? Years later, God did send the ultimate temple. It was Jesus Christ, right? He said, destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He was speaking about himself. Ultimately, one day God sent Jesus Christ on this earth. He was really the one who will make everybody able to come to God. Before Jesus, there was the temple. That's where everybody went to. Now, Jesus came and he made a way for everybody to be able to come to God through him. And when Jesus came, what did the devil try to do with him? He first came and he tried not to tell him, hey, become an atheist, right? He told him, the devil tried to destroy what Jesus came to do, right? He tried to come and destroy what Jesus was trying to do. And the way that he did it was by telling him, hey, look, just turn stones into bread, cheat a little bit. He didn't tell him, go commit adultery or something like that. He first told him, just bring some bread. Just use your power for yourself. Just compromise a little bit. Or look, test God a little bit. Then when that did not work, he told him, look, you came to save the world. I will give you the whole world. But just bow down and worship me for just a little bit. And then I'm going to give you the whole world. How did Jesus resist him? He said, it is written by the word of God. Jesus used the Bible. He quoted the Bible to the devil. It is said, men shall not live by bread alone. He said, you will not tempt the Lord your God. He said, you will worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He used the word of God. The devil was trying to destroy the work that God was trying to do on the earth through his son. It is always like that. So, make friends with the Word of God, and God bless you. Amen.
Amen.